morning, everybody. I am going to get situated here real quick. How's everybody doing? Good? Good, good. I am honored to be back. It feels like forever since I've been up here. Even on Wednesday nights, I haven't been up here on Wednesday nights like I normally have been. So it's been a little bit different for me. I'm just getting situated. But you kind of get, sometimes you realize, man, I haven't been here in a while, but I've been here before. So I haven't been here in a while, but I've been here before. Yes, 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 yes. So stand with me. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Stand with me, if you would, as we read God's word this morning. We're going to read, it's a quick verse, so it won't be long. But I believe it's going to be the verse that's going to pave the way for where it is that we're going, not just today, but in the coming weeks. It's Ephesians 3:20. Now, all glory to God. We're not going to read together. I'm reading it. Okay? Now, all glory to God. And I'm hoping that as we leave out of here today, that phrase will be the phrase that comes off of our lips, is all glory to God, who is able. He is able through his mighty power. Not my mighty will, but by his mighty power at work within us. Now, just because it's his mighty power, I have to do my part as well, because it is an interdependent relationship that we have with our Savior. To accomplish his power, to accomplish infinitely more, way beyond what we could think or we could imagine. Lord, that's my prayer this morning. As we would walk out of here saying, all glory to God. We know when we're not able, you are. And Lord, even when we do, it's because of you. It's your mighty power in us that allows for us to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think. In Jesus' name, we come expectant this morning, Lord. Move amongst your people. Let your spirit come this morning even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I wasn't going to stand with you guys, but I'm like, how can I tell them to stand if I'm not standing? I do like to sit, and maybe it's because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because my hairline is receding. I don't know. But the thing, when you have no hair, you got to have something to dab it off. So here we are. I'm actually introducing a brand new series today. As you already know, it's called No Cap. Predecide a better life. Help me with that. Predecide. Predecide. One more time. Predecide. There we go. It's a series that we're going to be doing for the next 7 weeks, and I believe it has the power to increase the trajectory for this next season of our church, one family member at a time. Welcome to what I believe to be a personal realigning of vision kind of series. A series that will both encourage and challenge all of us. A series that graciously allows for us to hit reset. A series that we hope will restore clarity as we head in through the back nine of summer 2022. I like to say that life happens in seasons, and we're currently a little over halfway through the summer season. Thank God. Kids are back in school, and by God's grace, sanity has been restored. We're at the halfway point of the current summer season, and I don't know about you, but for me, this time of year feels almost like New Year's in August. Back to school, back to work, back to routine, back to the grind, and for some of you here this morning, back to church. No judgment. We are glad that you're back. Honestly, we missed you. And though it's not officially a new year, I believe as we start in this new series, it will help to prepare us for the hectic holiday season that's right around the corner. Amen? Amen. I want you to do me a favor first, though. I want you to tell your neighbor, so we're going to wake up, tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be here, no cap. Tell your other neighbor, I'm glad to be here, no cap. All right. And this is the earlier service. So for some of you older folks, you may not know what you just said. You knew the I'm glad to be here part, but the no cap part, that feels like I was just tricked into doing a TikTok video by some young punk. Okay. We're officially two-thirds of the way through 2022. Two-thirds of the way through. Wow. Like that. That means that we are all 8 months older than we were at the beginning of the year. I don't care how cute you think you are. You are getting older, and I am getting older. As you get older, it only goes by faster and faster and faster. Right? She said, right. Yeah, she's 35, and she's like, man, it goes by fast. And if you pay attention, there's actually some signs, or what I like to call Blue's Clues, that we're getting older. It's not just when your skin starts to wrinkle. It's not just when you get your AARP card. It's not just when your back starts hurting. It's not when you get arthritis. It's none of that. But you know, and you know you're really getting older when your childhood punishments have now become your adulthood goals. Okay, and I'm going to say it again. You know you're getting older when your childhood punishments are now your adult goals. When things that used to devastate you as a child have now found their way onto your New Year's resolution list. Tell me I'm grounded and I have to stay in my room for a day? I'd keep talking back so that we can make it a week. Tell me my punishment is taking away my phone for a week? I'd post, I lost my phone privileges for a week on Instagram, send a message to my Snapchat circle, and celebrate the peace of life that comes from not being controlled by my inbox. I'm telling you, your childhood punishments become your adulthood goals. One more, and it's my favorite. It's a twofold goal. I wish somebody would tell me, hey, you better go in your room right now, and you better lay down and take a nap. And the second part of this one, you need at least 8 hours of sleep. And you better be in bed by 9 o'clock. No excuses. Do you understand me? Yes. Loud and clear. Sold. Where do I sign? But the ultimate litmus test for the fact that you're getting older, and I have no scientific proof for this one, but I just know this to be a reality. If you want to see how old you're really getting, then just have a text conversation with somebody who's 10 to 20 years younger than you. I promise you, they're going to hit you with something that's going to make you hit up Google, okay? They're going to hit you with something that's kind of H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P. And you're like, what the heck is H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P? They'll hit you with some type of acronym, some type of emoji that leaves you dazed and confused. Or you're going to hit them with something that makes you feel old. I've got stories, personal stories, because it's not that I'm cooler than any of you. I'm not. I just have kids in two different generations, and they keep me in the loop. Still don't believe me. Here's a true story. Funny story, but a true story. It's not a joke. The pastor was in his 50s, and he bought his mom her first iPhone. So she had to be 70, 75, 80, I don't know. His mother texted him one day and said, "How are you, son? I am loving the phone." The pastor texted back and said, "Actually, mom, it's been a rough day. I just finished my third funeral this week." And his mom texts back, L-O-L. He texts her back and said, "Mom, you text me L-O-L. I told you that I was having a rough day because I did three funerals this week." And she texts back, "I know, sweetheart. I know. L-O-L. Her son said, "Mom, do you know what LOL means?" And she responded, "Of course I do. Lots of love. I was sending you lots of love because I knew you'd had a rough day, baby." True story. I'm telling you, if you want to know how old you are, just have a text conversation with somebody who is 10 to 20 years younger than you. Second story, and this one, one more true story, and it's very fitting. There was a man who was texting his friend who was at least 10 years younger than the man. The young man texted the older man and said, "I've got tickets to the game on Sunday. You want to go? The older man said, wow, that's awesome. I'd love to go to the game. His young friend texts back and said, I can probably even get you on the field as well. Maybe get you some field passes. The older man texts back, bro, are you for real? The young man responded, yes, followed by these two emojis. The older man looked at his phone confused and he thought to himself, no hat. I mean, that was real generous to get me the tickets and to get me on the field, but no hat? That's odd. Most people on the field have their hats on. I wonder why he's telling me I can't wear my hat. So the older man texts the younger man back and said, awesome. So I can't wear my hat? And the young man immediately responded back, laughy face, laughy face, laughy face. With his feelings hurt, the older man texts back and said, huh? The young man responded with this. Close red circle, hat means no cap. To which the older man responded, oh, ha, 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 even though he still had no clue what this young punk was talking about. So he immediately had to go to not Webster, but to the Urban Dictionary and say, what does no cap mean? I want to show you the definition of no cap for those of you who are still a little bit confused this morning. This is from the Urban Dictionary. No cap means, here's the definition, no lie, that a person is telling the truth and not exaggerating. It often follows an unbelievable statement. I'll say it one more time. No lie that a person is telling the truth and not exaggerating. It often follows an unbelievable statement. So if no cap means I'm telling the truth, then cap means I'm lying. Right? Right? You're like, sure. Or I'm saying something that's not true. So I'm going to test you guys on this. Let's do a quick exercise. I'm going to make a statement, and then you either say no cap if it's true or cap if it's false. Here we go. And just shout out your answers once I make the unbelievable statement. Okay, when I show, okay, hold on. Everybody's going to say, here we go. So once I show the picture, don't jump ahead. Wait till I ask the question. So here we go. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. Here we go. Wait till I ask the question. Next one. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Bunch of haters. Here we go. We're talking about that. Here we go. Next picture. Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns will be NBA champions next year. Okay. It was a little mixed as far as haters. Another one. Next picture. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals will make it back to the playoffs this year. All right, you're probably capping because this one right here, you can say no cap, but this is all cap right here. The next one. The Dallas Cowboys are the best sports franchise of all time. Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. People are like, cap. So, okay, enough about sports. Let's get spiritual. I promise I've got a message. One last time. No cap means I'm not lying. I'm actually telling the truth. I'm not exaggerating. And it generally follows an unbelievable statement. So when you think about the definition of no cap, I think the Bible is full of statements, scenarios, and situations that should be followed with a no caps clause. Okay? Have you read the unbelievable things in the Bible? See, Moses, he's standing there with the Red Sea in front of him, and he's got Pharaoh and the armies behind him. They're coming for him. And God says, don't worry, Moses, I've got you. You're not going to see the enemy ever again. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to lift up a stick, and the Red Sea is going to part. Moses is like, God, are you for real? God's like, no cap. Look at Joshua. He's looking at an impenetrable wall. Joshua, a warrior, a fighter, a dude who knows how to throw hands with the best of them. But God says, no, 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 no. That's not how we're going to get the victory in the battle. I'm not going to use your ability. I'm not going to use your military expertise to get the victory. He said, this victory is going to be contingent upon your obedience. So yes, I know you know how to fight, but I don't want you to throw one punch. Here's what I want you to do to get the victory. You see that wall? I want you to power walk like a 70-year-old lady in the mall walking before the mall opens. And I want you to do that walk around the wall daily until the seventh day. I want you to lift up your voice and shout. I know it seems crazy. I know it seems ridiculous, but just lift up your voice and shout. And when you shout, the wall is going to fall. Joshua's like, are you for real? You want me to power walk and shout? God's like, no cap. That's how you're going to get the victory, Joshua. Do what I said. Be obedient, no cap. The Bible is full of no cap statements that need that clause. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, God said that he would condemn it, no cap. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Here we are in a recession, God. God says, I know, no cap. Our verse of the day in Ephesians, God says, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you may ask, think, or imagine, no cap. And Jesus would say, which relates to no cap, if you notice throughout the Gospels, he would often say, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Very truly, I tell you. I tell you the truth. That's essentially the biblical version of no cap. Over 70 times in the Bible, your God, your Savior, my Savior would go, no cap. I tell you the truth. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. No cap. And you can help me with these. If you now you know the phrase. You can use it as you want to. One time Jesus said, oh, here's another one. He who believes in me, he will not die. He will live forever. No cap. One time Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. No cap. And that almost got him capped. That almost got him capped for real. When you look at some Jewish people and say, before Abraham, the dude that they held in the highest esteem, Jesus is like, before Abraham was, I am. No cap. The Bible says in the book of Luke that almost got Jesus killed. They literally picked up Jesus and were about to throw him over a cliff. Some of you guys said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Read your Bible. It says he was able, though, to escape through the crowd, and they couldn't put him over the cliff. It wasn't yet his time. No cap. Why would Jesus, who was the truth, when he didn't speak the truth, he was truth personified, why would he take the time to start statements by saying, no cap, or I'm telling you the truth? It's like, we know. What are you telling us, Jesus? That you're lying? Why would you tell us, I'm telling you the truth? And I say, could it be possible that he knew that if you are alive on this earth today, you will constantly be inundated with so many voices. So many voices that will tell you a truth that is not the truth. And in the midst of all of the voices, he says, I want you to know that I am speaking to you, and it's not a truth, it's the truth. Oh, it's so dangerous when you embrace a truth that is not the truth. It's so dangerous when you embrace something as a truth that's not the truth. It's actually a lie. And the only thing more dangerous than a lie is a lie that you've actually embraced as truth. I wonder if the reason you're not going to step into all that God has for you, if you've kept your distance from God because of a past experience, if you don't worship because it's just not you, if you gave up hope that your life will never have value, it's because you've been capped and learned to live with and listen to the lie. There's nothing more dangerous than a lie that you've accepted as the truth. Let me ask you, how long have you lived with a lie? The Bible says you know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free, no cap. That's talking about the truth. But how many of you know that actually works both ways? Whatever truth that you've accepted as a truth, even if that truth is a lie, you will walk in the freedom of it. My wife would tell you that I do this every day. She would say that I walk around the house in complete freedom, believing a truth, or cap, that I think that I'm in charge in the house. When the truth is, she is, no cap. I'm kidding, kind of. Now, speaking of my wife, another great example, thank you. Awkward. Another great example of this is in the movie Mean Girls. Katie Heron in the red tells Regina George that the weight gaining supplement bars she has are actually weight loss bars. And Regina, in an attempt to lose weight, begins eating the bars daily, one after another, walking in complete freedom that her anticipated weight loss is in progress. Until she finds out that a truth that she was believing was actually a lie. And her reality was now that she was currently now far worse off than when she started. That's ever happened to you? I've seen it so many times in so many lives. It's that the grass is greener on the other side theology. So let me ask you, what lie is currently limiting your life? What lie is giving you the exact opposite results from what you believed that you'd received? What was the lie that you accepted as the truth? I wonder if you learned to live with the lie. I can't ever be in a functional relationship. That's cap. Who told you that? I can't get connected in the church. That's cap. Who told you that? I'm not even a people person. Cap. Who told you that? Nobody in my family ever graduated from college. I'm just not wired like that. Cap. Who told you that? People can learn to live with the lie that they've embraced as truth. And the liability of living with the lie is that lies always bring limitations. Lies always bring limitations because the truth is you'll only ever go as far as the lie. No cap. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself, dresses up as an angel of light, as an angel of truth, a truth, but not the truth." So what do? We have to be able to identify cap. We have to be able to identify cap. In order for us to know cap, we must understand what's no cap. Let me translate it for you. In order for us to know a lie disguised as the truth, we must understand what's the truth. And my options always start in my thoughts. Let me give you a personal example. Every time I start to prepare for a message, I hear two different voices in my thoughts. And they deliver two different and unbelievable statements. This is a dumb idea. Nobody's going to get anything out of this. You don't have enough time to finish it anyways. A truth. Could be true, but it kind of feels like cap. So just like when you get a negative report from a doctor, sometimes it's wise to do what? Get a second opinion. Here's the second opinion, and it doesn't sound like a lying friend named Katie Heron. It sounds like a loving father named Jesus. And it goes something like this. Daniel, we've been here before. Trust in me with all your heart. And don't lean on what you feel. Acknowledge that I am in it all with you, and I will direct your path just like last time. Hold on. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I trust you, Lord. No cap. Choose to listen to the right voice. Now, some of you listen to the lie and live by the lie because the voice isn't just disguised as an angel of light, but unfortunately, it actually sounds like a familiar voice of someone that you loved. A voice that helped shape your brain, a voice that shaped you from childhood to believe lies that maybe a parent, a friend, a boss, your ex, or even a current spouse spoke over you. And their voice needs to be exposed as the cap that it is. No cap. Now, many of you say, I don't know the Bible, so it's hard to decipher a truth from the truth. I get it, and that's honest. But here's two quick statements. You need to start reading and educating yourself on the truths of God. Ignorance is bliss. That's just not acceptable. We must become biblically literate as if our lives depended on it. No cap. Because in order for us to know the purpose of God, we have to know the principles of God and be connected around tables with the people of God. Meaning, we need to integrate with no cappers and isolate from the cappers. In other words, we need to integrate into our inner circle those who have common values or who choose to live by common truths and isolate from those that are full of cap. Though they might have common interests, at their core, their values are lies that they believe to be truth. And we're going to pack a little bit more of that in just a few minutes. But bottom line, it's often the fruit of our lives that reveals our lies. No cap. Let me ask you a question then. How do we take back our lives? How do we get the train back on the track? Showing up here this morning was the first step. How do we take the cap off and begin to live the limitless life that seems impossible? I'm glad you asked. Let's keep building. Because identifying a truth from the truth, honestly, as tough as it is, it's only the beginning. Because the fruit of our lives or the product of what we know isn't produced until we make a decision. In order for us to take back our lives, it all starts with our choices and our decisions. In fact, I would say it this way. The quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. You make your decisions, and your decisions end up making you. The problem is that most of us, we are not great decision makers, right? We know what to do. We know truth, but we don't do truth. Decisions. We want to eat right, but then we decide to eat more than we should. We want to be wise with our money, but then we decide to buy things that we can't afford. We want to be wise with our words, but then we decide to say things that we regret. We want to do the right thing, but we make decisions to actually do the wrong thing. We want to love the people around us, but unfortunately, sometimes our decisions end up hurting the people that we love most. We want to be good decision makers, but the problem is most of us aren't. What we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to talk about the power of decisions. And I want to start with answering this question. Why do we struggle to make good decisions? Why do we want to do the right thing and then we end up doing the wrong thing? Today is going to be a long introduction. And then we're going to look at a lot of God's word in the upcoming weeks. Why do we struggle to make good decisions? I see at least three reasons. The first reason, we are overwhelmed by choices. In fact, some studies show that we make upwards of around 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000 decisions a day from the moment you wake up. What do I eat? What do I wear? What do I look at? Do I scroll past the comment? Do I look at this? Do I look at that? Where do I? How do I? When do I? What do I? Our decision-making muscle literally becomes fatigued. In fact, cognitive scientists have termed the phrase decision fatigue. Essentially, what happens as the volume of decisions increase, 35,000 is a lot, the quality of the decisions decrease. Because we're making decisions day after day, moment after moment, all day long, our decision-making muscle gets really, really tired. It gets tired. And that's why you make difficult and wise decisions at the office, and you do it all day long. All day long, make great decisions. You're the all-star at work, and then you come home and decide not to go to your regroup and end up binge eating at night because you got tired of making good decisions. I understand. Or you make wise financial choices and you're saving and you're paying off debt and you're doing the right thing, and then you make some stupid purchase out of nowhere because of decision fatigue. We try to make good decisions, but because of the volume, the quality unfortunately starts to decrease. It's human nature. The second big problem is, for many of us, we're afraid of making the wrong choices. This is especially true for those of us that are Christians, because we don't want to miss God's will. And so a lot of times we analyze something and say, well, I'm not sure that's the perfect school, or I'm not sure that's the perfect job, or I'm not sure this is the perfect person today. And since we aren't sure, sometimes we just don't make any decision at all. Analysis paralysis. It paralyzes us. And this is a real challenge, because we have to understand that indecision is actually a decision. Indecision is the enemy of progress. You've been thinking for 3 years now about getting involved in a group. I'm just saying, why do we struggle to make good decisions? One, I said we're overwhelmed with all the choices. We're afraid of making wrong choices. And the one that I really want to drill down into is this one. We let emotions overrule logic. This is where so many of us struggle, and our decision-making process breaks down. We let emotions overrule logic, which is really interesting, because we often spend more time overanalyzing a lot of decisions that don't really matter. And then when it comes to the impulse decisions on the big things that do matter, like who you're going to start dating, when it comes to important decisions, I often don't analyze at all. I just let my emotions take over and react in the moment. Your kid upsets you, and logic says, be patient. But emotion says, yell as loud as you can. You may have some unexpected temptation, and the logic says, that's dangerous. But emotion says, let's party. And so often, that's why it's the emotional decisions that end up hurting us or hurting others the most. So here's my advice in that. Don't make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Don't make decisions that are going to impact you for years to come based on the emotion that you feel in the moment. And one of the best ways to live a forward-looking, people-loving, God-glorifying life is to decide before what you will do after. One of the best spiritual tools that you can do is to decide now what you will do later. And that's why we call this the power of pre-deciding. I said I'm going to accomplish a couple things today. I want to let you understand what the message title for the series meant. And now we're going to understand what the tagline means. And then we're moving to the future, the vision of what's going to happen in the coming weeks. Here we go, the power of pre-deciding, the power of choosing ahead of time, before you're in the moment. And our goal, with God's help, as followers of Christ, is to ask God to help us make some pre-decisions to decide ahead of time that we're going to honor God by what we do in the future. I love what Proverbs 16:3 says. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. If you're dating somebody, commit your dating relationship to the Lord. If you're married, commit your marriage. If you're parenting, commit your parenting and your children to the Lord. If you're making financial decisions, professional decisions, relational decisions, friendship decisions, what to wear decisions, what not to wear decisions, what to eat decisions, commit everything to the Lord. And Scripture tells us that if we do this, he will establish your plans. No cap. When you seek him first in his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus says that everything else will be added unto you. No cap. And here's how it plays out in our lives. With God's help, we're going to determine our course of action ahead of time. Before the moment of decision, we're presented with a decision, and it's going to look something like this. When faced with this scenario, whatever it is, should I look? Should I buy it? Should I respond? Should I yell? Should I drink? Should I drive after I drink? Whenever I'm faced with this scenario, I have pre-decided to take this action. Let that settle in. Let that settle in. We decide ahead of time, again, with God's help. Don't say something that I'm not saying. Don't hear something I'm not saying. I'm not saying that this is if you will your way to a better life. That's not what I'm saying. But I said we are in an interdependent relationship with God, not a codependent relationship with God. We're not to be codependent. We're not to be independent. We're to be interdependent. We're to be interdependent where God, I'm going to do everything on my part and you do everything on your part. Many of us get caught up and lose the maximized Christian experience that we're supposed to have because we think somebody told us that we're just supposed to be codependent on God. God, I know I need a job and I'm not going to go out and put out resumes. I'm just going to trust you that you're going to bring me a job. And he said, this isn't a codependent relationship. It's an interdependent relationship. You do your part, I'll do my part. Amen. Hey, man, somebody had to hear that because that wasn't in my notes. We decide ahead of time with God's help and the truth of his word that we will do what we will do in any given situation. If you have a problem with impulse buying, you're going to say, whenever I'm tempted to make an impulse purchase, I have already pre-decided that I'll wait 3 days before I buy something. No cap. If you have a problem with worrying, we're going to pre-decide that when I start feeling worried, because you always start feeling it, instead of going to people, instead of going to the bottle, I'm going to go immediately to God and pray. No cap. Pre-decide. So someone cuts you off in traffic. We're going to pre-decide to pray that they go to heaven. Instead of telling them to go to hell, and when you look at Scripture, and I'm telling you, you pre-decide. If you're a road rager, pre-decide. I know somebody is going to make me want to lose my mind this morning and say some things that I'll regret and have to ask for forgiveness for. Pre-decide. I know it's coming. I'm not going to respond. Bless you. Bless you who cut me off. Okay? And when you look at Scripture, what's so much fun to me is you see example after example of God's people pre-deciding in the moment what they'll choose to do later. No cap. In Genesis 22, when God told Abraham, hey, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, and you're thinking, that's ridiculous. Nobody in their right mind would do that. But in the past, what Abraham had already pre-decided about his future was that his God is always trustworthy. And so whatever he asked me to do, I pre-decided that I will obey and honor him. No cap. Same thing with Ruth. In Ruth chapter 1, Ruth made a very strong commitment to Naomi and pre-decided ahead of time that whatever happens in the future, no matter where you go, I'm going. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. No cap. Daniel chapter 1. It's a great name. We'll talk more about him in the upcoming weeks, but this guy was the king of predecisions. Daniel 1:8, the scripture says, Daniel resolved. He pre-decided. We could say it this way. He'd already decided, he pre-decided not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He decided ahead of time. No cap. He didn't wait until he got in the dining room to make the decision that he pre-decided, because of my faithfulness to God, I won't be weak in the future moment. I've already pre-decided to honor God. Why? Because he knew who and what he lived for. I told you we come back to this, and I want to ask you this. As you move into the next season with the perfect chance to honor God, what do you value? What do you value? What's the most important thing or things that when people talk about you or think about you, what do you want them to say? What do you want to be known by? What do you want to be characterized by? What do people describe you as? Or what do you want them to say about you? What do you want your reputation to be? What do you want, even despite your reputation? What matters to you more than anything else? And I want you to think about that. I want you to talk about it in your regroups this week. No cap. I want you to pray about it. And you're going to have an opportunity at the end to pray about it. And commit everything, everything to the Lord. What do you value? You might say, I value integrity. You might say, I value faithfulness. I want to be faithful to my God and faithful to my friends and faithful to my spouse. You might say, I value purity in a world of filth and lust. No cap. I want to honor God with a life of purity. You might say, I value generosity. God loved the world. He gave, and I want to be a giver. I want to be just like God. I want to be a giver. And you clearly pre-decide your values. Why does this matter so much? Why is it so important? Because when your values are clear, your decisions are easier. No cap. I call it the simple life. When you know what you value, you can decide ahead of time. Whenever I face this situation in the future, I've already pre-decided, based on God's word and the values that he puts in my heart, this is what I have pre-decided. Whenever I'm faced with this situation, because of God's truth, because of what I value, I have pre-decided to make and take this particular action. Here's what happens. Decisions determine direction. And direction determines your destiny. Decisions determine direction, and direction determines destiny. Your unwise decision compound negatively and your wise, God-honoring decisions tend to compound in a positive way. So as you look at what you value, ask yourself this. If your life is moving in the direction of your decisions, do you like the direction your decisions are taking you? If you don't, it's time to take your life back. It's time to pre-decide to do something different. Pre-decide when I'm faced with this situation because of who my God is and because of what it is that I value. I'm not going to wait until the situation to actually end up making the decision in the moment based on my emotions or whatever I'm feeling or before I'm actually in a weak state of mind. I'm going to pre-decide before I ever get there. When I'm faced with this scenario, I have pre-decided that I will take this action. No cap. Over the next few weeks, we're going to try to compel you. We're going to beg you. We're going to try and motivate you. Whatever it takes for you to pre-decide to be here every Sunday. Every Sunday for the next 6 weeks. And those of you who are really hungry for change, sign up for our No Cap Recap, starting this Wednesday at 6:30 at the church. Obviously, bingo starts at 6. $5 dinner. Marty already went through it. Free childcare is provided. You can sign up online in the bulletin, or we are going to have a couple of our young adults in the lobby that I put out there. It's not just a young adult thing. It's a church thing. It's a regroup thing. Okay? We already have 115 people, 818, like I said. So pre-decide today and sign up. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to make six pre-decided resolutions, just like Daniel, about who we are. Because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When your values are clear, your decisions are easier. So because we know where we're vulnerable, we're going to pre-decide that we are these six things. Here's what we're going to cover over the next 6 weeks. First, we're going to cover this next week. When the devil attacks, we're not going to be unprepared. We're going to be on guard. We're going to be on guard. We're going to watch. We're going to pray. And we're going to be ready. I want you to say it. What are you? I am ready. Here we go again. What are you? That's the first one. I am ready. Ready. I am ready. No limits, no cap. Secondly, when it's easy to be inconsistent, on one day, off another day, with the help of God and by the grace of God, we're going to be consistent. Somebody say, I am consistent. What are you? I am consistent, no limits, no cap. Next, week three. In a world where people often stray from God and lose their passion, the devil tempts them to take God for granted. Been there, done that. By not being students of his word and by not spending time with him, we're going to be devoted to God. What are you? Somebody say it with me. I am devoted. I'm devoted. No limits, no cap. Week four. In a world that tends to be selfish, we're going to be God honoring. Okay? We're going to choose ahead of time that what I have, everything that I have, it belongs to God. And I'm going to decide that I'm going to be generous. I am generous. What are you? I am generous. I am generous. So I'm saying, well, I'm a little generous. Time to take the ceiling off. No cap. I am generous. Week five, we're going to decide ahead of time in a world where unfaithful seems to be the norm. As followers of Jesus, we're not the norm. We're not the norm. We are faithful. What are you? I am faithful. No limits. No cap. That smells good. Week six. And no, you can't have the candles. Week six, finally. One of my favorite ones. I can't wait to get to this. Because Jesus died on the cross. He could say, I did everything that the Father sent me to do. Which is why he was able to say, it is finished. We honor God with excellence. We don't back down. We don't back off. We don't walk away. We are finishers. Say it with me. I am a finisher. One more time. Well done. I am ready. I am consistent. I am devoted. I'm generous. I am faithful. I am a finisher. And I don't care if you're strong in any of those areas. There's always another level. It's time to take off the cap. 2022 may not be where you thought it'd be, but the truth of the matter is, and once again, it's our tagline for the series, you can pre-decide a better life. No cap. The rest of the year can still be the best of your year. The rest of your life can still be the best of your life. No cap. Stand with me as we close. Band, if you would come on back up and help me close this out. A couple of things. Stay locked in. A couple of things that I know about the patterns of God's people, me included. Hear me on this. Messages like this are great. Vision is great. But the temptation is, and it will continue to be a temptation and part of the process towards sanctification until the day we die. The truth is, sometimes we just get a little lethargic. Sometimes we get a little lazy. We do. And I'm not calling anybody lazy. I'm just saying that the feeling of laziness, I'm going to feel it here in about 3 hours when we leave out of the church. I'm going to take a nap. Okay? And it limits our thinking. When we get tired physically, we get a little lazy. And when we get lazy or lethargic, we start to lose our light. When the apathy and sluggishness kicks in, this is when our light starts to fade. Some of you, your light is extinguished this morning. We become more susceptible to lies or cap, lies that blur the lines of truth, lies that limit our lives, lies that put a cap on the God that is the very definition of no cap. In a statement to you, on Friday morning, I said to the Lord, give me a little music too. That makes it sounds a little more spiritual. I said, Lord, I wish. Many times we say, God said, I didn't give you a wishbone, I gave you a backbone, but I started it that way. I wish justification and sanctification both took place in a moment. I wish. Jesus, here's my life. I give it to you, justified, and boom, I'm whole. I'm holy, I'm healed, and I'm healthy in a moment. From that moment on, I just start making one highlight reel after another. But as quickly as I made this statement, I felt like he wanted me to share this with you this morning. In one breath, he immediately enlightened me. God shared this example with me. He said, Daniel, how much do you love eating? I said, Lord, I love eating, especially when I'm hungry. The hungrier, the better. He then said, if I took away the hunger and you could eat once and be complete, I'd rob you of the full experience of being satisfied. He said, there's a joy in the hunger pains. The satisfaction is on the other side of suffering. And my son Jesus who's right here with me would tell you the same. Lord, I pray this morning, as we head into this last song, God, that you would stir, that you will water the word, that you will water the seeds that have been planted this morning, Lord, that one week at a time, that you would spark a fire in us, that you would wake us up, that you would revive us. No limits, no lies make us hungry for you again. You are the God of the impossible. No cap. Sing this last song. Life, your life depends on it.